This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The terror threat rises. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, May 24, glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
British authorities have raised the country's terror alert level. Meanwhile, hear what neighbors are saying about the Manchester suicide bomber.
Investigators say the way explosives were used in Monday's concert attack lead them to believe that the killer did not act alone.
Former CIA boss John Brennan testifies that he saw no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials, but says Russia did interfere in the election.
And the latest way, Amazon is disrupting the marketplace.
So Amazon, due to a brainstorm from Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of the company, has opened up a community banana stand. Actually, they have two now in their headquarters, and they're giving away about 8,000 free bananas a day, 4,000 from each stand, and shaking up the fruit market here a little bit.
Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Stevens on Amazon going bananas in Seattle. She's here in about 20 minutes. British Prime Minister Theresa May has raised the nation's terrorism threat level to critical, suggesting fears of another attack may be imminent following the one Monday night at a concert in Manchester that killed 22 people and injured dozens of others. Meanwhile, the suicide bomber was identified yesterday as a 22-year-old man named Salman Abedi, a British citizen of Libyan descent. One reason for the higher security alert? Officials said the use of explosives in Monday's attack required a higher level of collaboration. Neighbors described him as an aggressive man who did not mix much with others in the community. Ian Hopkins is chief constable of the Greater Manchester Police.
Our priority, along with the police counter-terrorist network and our security partners, is to continue to establish whether he was acting alone or working as part of a wider network.
Manchester reportedly was long a destination for radical Libyan Islamists during the Gaddafi era, with at least 25 members of an Islamist guerrilla group seeking asylum in Britain and settling in Manchester. Also, two of the members of the Islamic State cell that struck Brussels and Paris in 2015 and 2016 were in Manchester months beforehand. Let's get further analysis of the Manchester terror attack from Scott Mann, former Lieutenant Colonel in Green Beret, who's currently president of a group called Man Up Leadership Experience, also author of Mission America, Straight Talk About Military Transition, and a book called Game Changers. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Scott. How do you prevent attacks like the one in Manchester?
Well, preventing those kinds of attacks, Gordon, where we are right now is a very, very difficult thing to do because the planning is so deeply underway. I believe the way you prevent them, though, is that you work with the communities where these individuals reside, these marginalized communities. They are our best antibody to this kind of extremism.
And work with them how? Like do what, Scott?
Well, you know, in Manchester, in the West, in the United States, I think we're going to have to do even more community policing than we're currently doing. I think we're going to have to work by, with, and through more of the resilient leaders of these communities to stand up and help us identify potentially violent extremists. We've learned this lesson in special forces abroad. You know, we can't just leave those communities to their own devices to be exploited by these violent extremists. We have to be leaders, have to be actively engaged and operating with these communities that are at risk and potentially exploited by terrorists.
So are these leaders indicating that they're open to, say, engagement by us?
A lot of times they're not, okay, understanding that they're often marginalized or at odds with the state. That's kind of the recipe, Gordon, that these violent extremists look for, whether that is the Sunni areas of Iraq or whether that's even some diasporas here in, you know, Minneapolis. You're going to find communities that are at odds with the state, and they feel like they are even somewhat threatened by the conditions around them, and that makes them exploitable. But that doesn't mean that we can leave them to their own devices. In fact, we have to double down and really increase our outreach through the form of community policing. And again, identifying and working with resilient leaders in these communities to help identify and take a stand against these extremists from the inside out. That's what I write about in my book, Game Changers.
You said the most powerful way to affect Westerners emotionally is to come for their children, I guess the way this guy did in Manchester. Do you think that he deliberately targeted this concert because teen girls were there, or did he just pick this concert because it happened to be kind of next on the schedule in Manchester and that's where he lived?
No, I think children were part of the calculus. I've been saying for a long time that ISIS is very different than Al-Qaeda in that they really do want to draw us into their version of a manufactured holy war because of their prophetic methodology. They really do believe in the end of days, and they need the infidel armies to fight. And they're going to keep poking us in the eye until they get the response from us that they want, which is, you know, this manufactured holy war. And the best way to poke us in the eye and get a collective response in the West is to come after our kids.
All right. As part of that,
it's going to keep coming.
As part of that, too, you said, maybe on that note, too, you said we need to be paying very close attention to this attack in Manchester as it pertains to our communities and kids here in the U.S. Does that mean suddenly something is new or different?
Well, look, these guys learn quickly. They pay attention to what works, what doesn't work, and they replicate it very quickly. I've been talking to law enforcement all over the country, and what I've been saying is these guys want to pull us in, and the way to do that is to come after our children. And so my word to law enforcement listening to this and local leaders is that we need to take a serious look at how ISIS could potentially target our children here in the United States. I believe it is definitely on the table and part of their targeting calculus going forward.
All right, like what? Just showing up at concerts like this, sporting events?
Well, yeah, concerts and schools. I believe that schools are targets in the ISIS mindset much more so than Al-Qaeda. Remember that ISIS operates through a process called horrorism, not terrorism. Terrorism is the application of violence against the civilian populace for a political outcome. Horrorism is the application of horrific violence to achieve social paralysis. And that's what these guys are after. They're going to come at us local. They're going to look for places that are right in our backyard, and they're going to try to hit us at the deepest, most visceral, emotional level. That will be our kids, and that will likely be our schools.
We're speaking live this morning with former Lieutenant Colonel and Green Beret Scott Mann. So on your point there, I got to ask this in, I don't know, I guess a very careful way, and that's, you mentioned targeting schools. Why haven't they done so far?
Well, you know, just like any targeting methodology, these guys evolve in their targeting methodology. And, you know, they try what works, and if it works, they stir and repeat. Look at what they've done with the vehicle rammings, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm looking at, Gordon, more than anything else, is their ideology. It's their will. What drives them? And what drives them is this notion of the end of days, of the apocalypse. And, you know, we are part of that equation. They need... based on their prophecy, all the way up to al-Baghdadi, they believe this ticked off infidel army to fight. And to do that, they've got to poke us in the eye to get a 9/12/2001 type response. And I'm looking at past behavior, I'm looking at what's happened in Manchester, and I'm making some assumptions here, but based on that prophetic methodology and the desire to tick us off, I see schools as the most likely viable target, plus their preference for local targets. They don't like the big spectacular. They like the in your backyard, looking out your window, wondering if they're coming after your kids kind of target, and restaurants and cafes. And I think if we're not thinking about that, then we're going to be doing like they are in Manchester, which is responsive. And that's where we don't want to be.
You paint a scary picture. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, former Green Beret, president of a group called Man Up Leadership Experience. Thanks for being with us this morning live. 15 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. The ink was still wet on President Trump's budget outline when Congress started smearing it. The call for rolling back programs that touch their constituents did not sit well. The White House's 10-year plan to balance the federal budget depends heavily on cuts to government safety net programs. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
This is a budget that provides massive tax breaks for billionaires and corporate CEOs and massive cuts to programs that tens of millions of struggling Americans depend upon.
Payments to Medicaid would be cut by more than $600 billion over a decade, while food stamps would be slashed by $193 billion. There are also proposed cuts to the student loan program and farm subsidies. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
What I do like about it is it clearly focuses on increasing defense spending, which we know is absolutely critical given the threats that we face.
The White House budget blueprint leaves mostly untouched the big entitlement programs, Social Security and Medicare, for retirees. It's 21 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Greater Manchester police today made three more arrests in connection with the Monday night bombing that killed 22. Bomber Salman Abidi had been on the radar of security services. British Prime Minister Theresa May says the country's national terror threat level has been raised to critical, meaning another attack may be imminent.
The police and others will, of course, be looking at the security of venues to ensure that people can continue to enjoy summer events, feeling secure and enjoy those events.
A vigil last night drew thousands. President Trump met with Pope Francis at the Vatican today. The two met for a private one-on-one meeting and also exchanged gifts in front of reporters and the president's visiting delegation. The visit to the Vatican was the third stop of Trump's tour of sites representing three major religions. Former CIA Director John Brennan told Congress Russia did interfere in the election.
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign.
Meanwhile, the top two senators on the Senate Intelligence Committee are questioning whether former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn can invoke the Fifth Amendment to deny them the documents they've requested from him in relation to their investigation into Russian meddling. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr says the committee will not give Flynn immunity because the committee does not believe it's the place of the committee to offer it. Nepali Sherpas have found four climbers dead in their tents on Mount Everest with suspicion they died of carbon monoxide poisoning. That takes the death toll on the world's highest mountain to 10 in the past month. Bill Cosby's lawyers are accusing Pennsylvania prosecutors of trying to keep blacks off the jury that will hear the comedian's sex assault trial. Of the 11 current jurors chosen, one is black. The process continues today. In the market for a unicorn horn? Well, you can find one at the only shop dedicated solely to unicorn horns called the Brooklyn Owl. The shop sells stuffed fabric horns in various sizes and colors, priced from $14 to $30.
You read my mind. I was just thinking to myself, Jen, if I could just find a unicorn horn somewhere.
To wear in public down the street.
And now they have them available in Brooklyn.
You can go after work.
Sensational. 23 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is saying thank you with up to 40% off business PCs with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. You know, Amazon is a company that's transformed businesses like retail, films, and data storage, but did you also know it's suddenly a big player in the banana biz? Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Stevens says it started with a brainstorm from founder and CEO Jeff Bezos that Amazon should offer everyone near its headquarters healthy, eco-friendly snacks as a public service. Laura, what do we have here?
So Amazon, due to a brainstorm from Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of the company, has opened up a community banana stand. Actually, they have two now on their headquarters. And they're giving away about 8,000 free bananas a day, 4,000 from each stand, and shaking up the fruit market here a little bit.
Goodness. All right. So, and this is not just for employees, right? I mean, if you happen to be just living or working in the area, you can pop by one of these stands and just snatch a banana from there?
Exactly. So it's for community members and for employees. And I spent, you know, a few hours at one of the stands the other day and, you know, saw a lot of employees come up, saw a lot of community members come up. Most people are taking one banana, some are taking two, and some are even grabbing a handful.
Wow. Do some people think that there's a catch? Because I know if, say, you're in New York City, people would think, well, what else is there? I got to buy a $10 cup of coffee as part of that?
No, I mean, it's definitely part of what Amazon's decided to do for the community here, so nobody thinks there's a catch. It was funny, though, I did talk to some of the local businesses, and a few of them have seen a little bit of a change in customer habits. You know, one shop said that people aren't taking bananas as a yogurt topping anymore, but they are seeing a huge demand for, like, banana-themed drinks because people have bananas on the brain, they told me. Other places are seeing people kind of walk in with holding bananas and maybe leaving them on the table sometimes. So, you know, it's definitely kind of changed a little bit of the business scene here, but just kind of in a funny way.
Oh, so sometimes if you're a business owner or manager, you're cleaning up a little bit of Amazon's mess if somebody walks in with a free banana to your coffee shop and leaves it behind?
You might have a few peels on the table.
I see. But, you know, your point was interesting about, I think it was one shop was saying, yeah, we're not moving as many single bananas. However, with people thinking of bananas so often now, right, they've created even new drinks like an eggnog or something or other.
Exactly, a vegan eggnog, which was banana-based, and they said that was a huge hit. They've also created now a chocolate-flavored drink that's similarly a hit. They definitely think people really love bananas here.
How about that? Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Stevens. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, May 24. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. British authorities raise the terror threat level. Trump met with the Pope today. Former CIA boss John Brennan says he saw no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials, but says Russia did interfere in the election. Vermont could legalize pot today. Tom Cruise working on a sequel to Top Gun. Chris Blue won season 12 of The Voice. Rashad Jennings won Dancing with the Stars. Sure to find an NFL job now. Pens and Sens go to a Game 7. And how to help the victims in Manchester. That story in about 20 minutes. So what's ahead for investigators examining the terror attack in Manchester, England, where 22 people were killed and five dozen injured Monday night at this Ariana Grande concert? We're joined now by Chris Copeland, Director of Homeland Security and Cybercrime at Tarleton State University in Fort Worth. Chris, how do you see this?
What you're going to see are investigators looking at how the device was made, what information they can pull from that, tracking that back through, you know, were parts purchased? If so, where were they purchased? Who were they purchased by? You know, trying to find all the links that they can to see how far this will go in terms of the number of people involved.
All right. So ultimately, too, tracking social media, right? Internet activity, I presume, will be part of this?
Oh, yes. Social media, internet activity, phone calls in and out of the countries will be monitored very heavily.
All right. So on Tuesday was ISIS came out and claimed that it was one of their folks. There's no proof of that typically, and they usually issue a statement like that, right? But that's something I assume investigators will look at either way.
Of course, the natural thing to say is, of course, it's ISIS. But at the same time, you know, with lone wolf attacks, especially suicide bombs, there's no way of knowing that for certain. Unless we find some sort of pre-written note or suicide notification, you know, claiming that they're doing this on behalf of the Islamic State. So, yeah, again, ISIS loves to take claim where it can, but at the same time, there's no way of verifying that for certain.
We're speaking with Chris Copeland, Director for Homeland Security and Cybercrime at Tarleton State University in Fort Worth, Texas, and we're talking about what investigators are looking at into this terror attack in Manchester, England. We do seem to notice, right, that dates matter to terrorists.
Yes, dates do matter to terrorists. They love to do things in response to actions. They love to do things in memorial to action, you know, the anniversary of a bombing or the anniversary of a missile attack or the anniversary of people being killed or arrested, it does matter.
All right, so I think yesterday was the four-year anniversary of that British soldier who was murdered in the streets. Should British authorities have been more aware, or when it comes to an incident like this, I mean, is it impossible to stop?
Well, I mean, yes, it's almost impossible to stop because of the reactive nature of law enforcement and security forces on the ground. At the same time, you know, being more aware of a specific, I mean, there's only 366 possible days in a year, 365 on the normal. So it's very difficult to determine which day is going to be of importance to a lone wolf attacker.
Yeah.
This could have very easily been in response to something else. It's very hard to process what's going on in the mind of somebody who's willing to do this when rational thought is no longer an option.
Right. All right. So what about concert venues going forward? I mean, if we hadn't thought about that already, right?
We have, and I can guarantee you there was security at this concert venue. It's just that, you know, there's always going to be a vulnerability, and you can't protect all vulnerabilities because some of them you don't know are vulnerabilities until it's too late. You know, in this particular instance, the bomb went off outside the venue. It actually went off at the exit. So, you know, timing was everything. At least it didn't go off inside. It would have been much, much worse. And honestly, looking at the way the venue was sort of laid out and the way that the attack was carried out, it was not very well orchestrated. Had it been better coordinated, and this is what leads it to probably a lone wolf attack, unfortunately, the death count would have been much higher.
Right.
You know, and that's the unfortunate numbers aspect to this cat and mouse game between security and terrorists, is that it is all about a numbers game, and that takes away the humanity of it.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Copeland, Director of Homeland Security and Cybercrime at Tarleton State University in Fort Worth, Texas. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's always nice to be able to talk about a young person doing good things. A Texas high school student named Chase Bradley is making news after raising over $50,000 for cancer research, then donating the scholarship money he received as a prize for his efforts to a fellow student who had recently overcome the disease. According to ABC News, Chase joined 13 other students in the Austin area this year to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Chase was awarded the $2,500 scholarship after raising $57,000 for the society in just 7 weeks, the result of a letter-writing campaign, phone calls, emails, social media, and reaching out to friends and family. Chase's sister had beaten cancer herself 5 years ago. The student who received the scholarship money is named Sergio Garcia. Sergio was diagnosed with leukemia in 2013 and has been cancer-free for almost 2 years. He will attend community college in the fall and study architecture.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'll point to again, would some of these hero kids do in high school?
Yeah.
I can't even relate.
Right.
Because my head was probably so far up my arse that I couldn't even have dreamed of doing something good like this.
I mean, $57,000 was impressive enough that it only happened in 7 weeks.
Yeah,
that was,
right.
That's the amazing part.
Right.
He's like, yeah, you know, not even 2 months.
That's a great point. Yeah.
And he was able to pull that off, you know, I guess, you know, in his spare time. Again, while we were, you know, well, me, I was, you know, probably playing video games in my spare time in high school.
Wow, so. That's impressive. Nice job.
Very nice. And there's one football star, Gordon, who might be excited that the NFL is lightening up on end zone celebrations. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown has issued his response to Commissioner Roger Goodell, reportedly opting to relax some of the league's celebration penalties. The post to Brown's Twitter account last night was a photo of him twerking in the end zone from a game against Washington last season, along with the thinking face emoji, suggesting that Brown was curious if he'd still get a flag for doing that next season. And the answer is likely yes, as it's being reported that the celebrations that will no longer be penalized are group celebrations, using the ball as a prop after scoring touchdowns and making snow angels, while prolonged acts, miming weapons, offensive gestures, sexually aggressive stuff, and twerking will still cost you some yards and dollars. Brown was fined twice for end zone dances last season.
So, he twerked? I guess I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Probably a good reason I don't remember it, or because you might not be able to unsee it.
Yeah, I do remember that being causing a little controversy last year.
Wow.
And I guess then the second time around is when he got fined, and it wasn't a drop in the bucket. It was like $25,000 that he got fined the second time around. Yep.
Where would the old Icky Shuffle rank in this? Is that too long? Is that a band dance?
I feel like that would have been prolonged, because that went on for, at least seemed like it went on for a good long time. Right. Maybe it was only for 5 seconds, but it felt like a lot longer, didn't it?
He made a name for himself after that, right? And he showed up in a commercial somewhere and did that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just showed up a couple years ago in a commercial. Where would he be now? He wouldn't be allowed, and you know, who knows what he'd be doing.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to 3 more men have been arrested in connection with the suicide bombing at a concert Monday night that killed 22 people and wounded dozens more. Greater Manchester police say the arrests were made as search warrants were executed in the bombing investigation. British Prime Minister Theresa May again condemned the bombing.
This has been an absolutely horrific attack, particularly given that the victims were young people and children, amongst others.
The country's terror threat level has been raised to critical. Former CIA Director John Brennan has testified that U.S. intelligence officials learned about contacts between President Trump's campaign associates and Russian officials last year, sparking concerns that the Kremlin could try to cultivate people close to Trump. The testimony sheds new light on why federal agents decided last year to initiate a full investigation. The CIA helped start the probe by turning over information to the FBI. Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says President Trump and the White House aren't messing around when it comes to border wall funding, even though the president's budget only allows for a fraction of the wall's required resources.
We are absolutely dead serious about the wall. In fact, after taking care of the national security and the vets, my guess is it's in the president's top three. In fact, I know for a fact that it is. And we've made that very clear to the folks on the Hill.
The proposed budget has set aside $2.6 billion for border security. The Department of Homeland Security puts the wall's projected cost at $21.6 billion, while other estimates are as high as $67 billion. The threat of flooding continues across several southern states as heavy rain soaks the area and prompts new flood watches in the Carolinas as a massive storm system sweeps eastward. The National Weather Service says flash flood watches extend from southeast Louisiana across Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, and a sliver of southern Virginia. Well, this would make a good plot for a soap opera. The children of a 101-year-old man in Portugal are legally challenging his marriage to his ex-maid, who is half his age. The man married his 52-year-old former maid earlier this month, but three of his children from a former marriage claim she's eyeing his $2 million estate and that he is not of sound mind. They also claim hundreds of thousands of dollars have gone missing from their father's accounts over the past few years.
Say there is a reasonable suspicion here.
You think?
Oh, my goodness.
101.
Thank you, Jen. 5.5 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us as Manchester and the world mourn the victims. Online crowdfunding campaigns cropped up to help grieving families pay for funerals and to help the homeless man who rushed inside the arena to help victims. All of the campaigns launched on the GoFundMe.com website. Among them, according to USA Today, a campaign for the family of 18-year-old Ariana Grande superfan Georgina Gina Callender, with a goal of about $13,000. The fundraising page includes a photo of a smiling Gina wearing braces with Ariana Grande's arm around her. There's also a fundraiser for the family of 28-year-old John Atkinson, described as a true gentleman on the GoFundMe page, and a beautiful soul on Facebook. The goal, $1,300. Another, a GoFundMe campaign for Chris Parker, the 33-year-old homeless man who rushed into the Manchester arena to help the injured. The goal of the campaign for Mr. Parker is also about $1,300. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.